Well, you want to turn over to Romans 1:17. We're going to start there. We're going to talk about faith. What is faith? Last couple weeks, we've talked about how faith comes. You know, there's all kinds of places you can start with this type of stuff. You know, it's just like any subject. Sometimes you wonder which way to go. If you're learning a subject in school, sometimes you got to know two things are so close together that you got to know both of them before you can go forward. And it's like, where do you start? If you start here on this one side, you got to make some generalities before you cover the other subject, because you kind of have to talk about it because they're interrelated, but you can't go completely into that subject. So you have to choose one, you go in one subject, and then you kind of make this on hold, talk about generalities, and you go over here and you fill in the blanks. You know, if you've ever taken classes or whatever, college classes, they do that. But anyhow, so we talked about how faith comes before we talk about actually what is faith, but I kind of touched on it. You know, faith is believing, but we know how faith comes, and kind of we touched on it generally. But I want to go into in depth on, what faith is today. And we said faith comes by hearing, first of all. So if we know, I think faith has become such a cliche, you know, in religious circles. It's just a religious term, not really a religious term, but people look at it as a religious term, like whether you have faith or you don't have faith. And, what's your faith? And if you have faith, it's almost sometimes this connotation like you believe something that really isn't true, like you believe a fairy tale. You have faith. You know, where reality stops, then your faith begins. Everybody has something. That's kind of almost the connotation you get in today's world. It's like something that you have no basis for, but you believe. Well, sort of true. In the Bible, when we believe God, we can't see Him. So we don't have any sensual knowledge of Him. We can't see Him, touch Him, can't feel Him with your, you can't hear Him audibly, can't taste Him. So there's these sensual things that aren't there, but it's not that we don't have any knowledge of Him or any basis for fact. So our faith, maybe we don't have any sensual knowledge and we can't prove certain things, but the Word of God, we base our faith then and our believing on the Word of God. So we do have a basis. It's not something we made up. It's not something we just take, people say, just take it by faith. Well, like I said, it's almost become this misnomer that somehow faith is just has no basis and you just believe it on a whim. That's not true. We have the utmost assurance of what we believe God for. And so we talked about how faith comes by hearing, which means that when we hear what the Word of God, we can't believe beyond what we've heard and beyond our knowledge. Otherwise, and you can't believe something that you don't have a basis on in the Word. In other words, you can't just pick something up and say, well, I think I'll believe God for it. I believe God for, you make it up, whatever. I'm going to believe God for a baseball stadium. Well, how? Why? Unless God's told you that, given you, there's not going to be any specific word in the Bible about that. There's not going to be a specific word about a lot of things in our lives. I'm going to believe God for a specific job. Well, why? That's not in the Bible. So things that aren't in the Bible, then God better have spoken something specifically to us. Otherwise, we can't really have faith, because faith is believing. And if we're just taking, we say we're going to believe something, what are we believing if we've just pulled it out of thin air? It's just kind of like more of a wish, a hope. And that's what a lot of people equate with faith, is more like wishing or hoping. Well, I hope it's true. Kind of just, it's out there. I don't know. But that's not what faith is. Faith, we're going to, give a definition, but it's a firm belief in God. Now, before we get into that, you're at Romans 1:17. Let's read what it says there. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness, well, we'll back up to 16. He's kind of halfway through a thought. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we're to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So it helps if we know what faith is, because we're supposed to live by it. As Christians, we're the just, so we should live by it. Let's turn over to another scripture before we get going. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let's back up to verse 1. We're going to go to 7. Let's back up to 5, verse 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house," this tent, he's talking about our bodies, "is destroyed." Actually, let's back up to chapter 4, verse 16. You know, put things in context and we know what he's talking about. Chapter 4, verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart." You know, he's talked about them being hard-pressed, verse 8, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, not destroyed." He's talking about going through things for the gospel's sake, how they've been persecuted, how certain things have been trials, have been hard. That's the context he's talking about. Then in verse 16, he says, "Therefore we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen," all the things that are happening to them, all the things, all these troubles that they're going through. He said, we're not looking at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So then in verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house," talking about his body, "this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." So he says this whole thing to say, look, we've gone through some stuff, but we don't lose heart because we're not looking at what is seen, what our senses can bring in, all the just see, touch, feel, heart. You know, they're feeling these stripes on their back. They're feeling us. We don't look at that. We look at what is eternal, the things that aren't seen. And he says, even if our body was destroyed, we have a hope in heaven that we are going to be with God someday. And then he says in verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So there's faith again. We are walking by faith and not by sight. That is what, that's how we ought to walk too. By faith, not by sight. And so we ought to live by faith. We ought to walk by faith. So we need to know what faith is. What is faith that he's talking about? Because we as Christians, it is vital that we know what faith is. That we know how to what we're talking about here. That we know it's not the earthly, the worldly view of faith, some fairy tale, but solidly, what is faith? So I'm going to give you some definitions. First of all, just the Greek word. You know, if you just go and look it up in any concordance or whatever, is pistis. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but anyway, it's persuasion, moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. Now, in my study Bible, you know, it's got some definitions of words, and this is what it says for faith: conviction, confidence, trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness, persuasion. It's the divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all that he says. I'll read that part again. Faith is conviction, confidence, trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness, and persuasion. It's the divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all that He says. Notice, it's the divinely implanted principle. How is it divinely implanted? By hearing the Word of God. When we hear what He says, faith comes, which is what we talked about last week. But it's what you get from it, it's a solid, firm persuasion that something is true, and that God is faithful, and that we have a complete reliance in Him. That's faith, and that's how we're supposed to live. The just shall live by their firm reliance, their fully persuaded belief in God and all that His Word says. And we're supposed to live by, then we just read in 2 Corinthians, we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. We're supposed to walk by our persuasion, our confidence, our reliance in God, and not by what we see, feel, taste, hear, all those things. That's how we're supposed to walk. That's how we're supposed to live, is by faith. Basically, we live by our trust in God and not everything that we see. And another thing, another couple things about faith. So it's a firm persuasion. One thing is, another definition of it is, it's just seeing Jesus and everything He's done. Now, we believe. The Bible's about Jesus from beginning to end. It points to Jesus. And everything is about Him. The faith, everything that the Word says is revealing the person of Jesus and what He's purchased for us. Salvation, healing, provision, protection, everything. And so as we see Him and we see Jesus for who He really is, that's faith. When we know the person of Jesus and we realize who He is and we're persuaded that He's trustworthy, that is faith. So faith is not some just made up wishy-washy, you know, I kind of hope things are true. It's a firm confidence that no, this is true. My God will do what He said He would do. Just like if you had, you know, you have a reputable company that you hire for whatever, construction or, you know, remodeling, or you have a plumber or whatever, you may be persuaded that that company or that person will do what they said they were going to do. If they give you an estimate and it's written, you believe it. You take it to the bank, say, no, you told me this is what you were going to do. This is what I expected you to do, because you believe. You're confident. Well, it's the same thing with God. We aren't basing our hope in God on just some frivolous ideas. It's based firmly on His Word and our reliance and trust. So when we walk through things that don't look good, we are firmly based on Him. And so it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. We walk by faith, by our reliance on Him. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11:1. Walking by faith is the most logical thing we could ever do. It's the smartest thing we could ever do. It's not always the easiest thing we could ever do. It's not always the most comfortable thing we could do, but it is the most intelligent thing. And I will tell you, people of faith is growing more. It's not like it's new, but are being ridiculed in today's society. Oh, you don't know, you walk by faith. Well, let me tell you, that is a much more sure position to be in than walking by what you can just see and hear and understand with your finite brain. Because what we understand with our finite brain changes every day, and it changes through the seasons. What we understand to be true, our eyes can deceive us. Our feelings can deceive us. You know, you could feel pain, but if your sensors were messed up, and they weren't working right, there may be nothing wrong. You can't trust your body all the time. You can't trust everything you hear. We know we can't trust everything we read and see on TV or hear. So our senses are not the most stable or concrete guide. Yet we're used to using them, so we tend to believe them. I'm not saying we dismiss our senses. I mean, you know, if you hear and see a car coming down the street and you're about to cross it, you should heed your senses and not cross it. You know, that would be stupid to walk out in front of a car. God didn't tell us to do, you know, things like that. On the other hand, our senses can tell us and deceive us, or what we see and hear can make something look a certain way, and it's not real at all. And the devil, there is an enemy. He will use those things to twist it to make us think that something is different than what it really is. And even if your senses tell you something is true, if it doesn't line up with God's word, we believe God's word over what we can see. That's exactly what Paul was saying over in 2 Corinthians, that we walk by faith, not by sight. So Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I'm going to read that in another translation. But this one says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The Amplified says it this way: "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." Now I'm going to read that again, but that's an Amplified Bible. You can find that even online, BibleGateway.com. You can look up all kinds of translations, but .org, I think. "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." See, faith, and so that what I looked at it, there's other translations, but what it is, or what it's saying, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. It's the undergirding of what we hope for. It's like the foundation for what you're building your hope on, the substance of things hoped for. It's like you put a foundation under to begin with for a building, and then you build on top of it. So what we believe, faith is the reason we hope or expect to see certain things. So we don't base what we hope to see on our senses. We base it on God's word. So we don't see certain things, but we expect it. Like right now, we haven't seen God, but we expect to see him one day. Hope. We hope. Hope isn't wishing. It's expecting. We expect to see him. Why? Because of our faith. It's because we believe that we have been saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in that name. We believe that, and so we believe we are right with God, and when we leave this earth, we will be in the presence of God. But we don't see that right now, and it surely doesn't line up with anything in our senses, but we hope, we expect that. Why? Because of our faith, which is under our hope, which is what's undergirding our hope. We take that as a fact, even though we can't see anything to that effect, except for the word of God, which is how we got our faith. We heard the word, faith came, we acted on that faith, and that faith is what gives us our hope or our expectation for what is to come. And it's the same thing with everything, not just salvation. So if we're in a given situation, if we have God's word on the subject, we act according to his word, not according to circumstance. That's faith. When we're walking in a situation, you know, if our bodies are sick, we don't go by what we feel. We say, "No, by his stripes I'm healed," and we act on that and believe that. If we don't feel like we're protected, we act on the fact that God promised that he would always protect us. You read Psalm 91. You know, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We act on those things rather than what it looks like. Something looks like something is going to happen in our life that would bring fear. No, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I'm going to walk according to what God's word says, not according to what I see, not according to what my emotions are telling me, because my emotions are not always trustworthy. My emotions can be telling me something that isn't true. I can have fear when there's no reason to be fearful. So I don't act on that fear. I act on God's word. That's faith. And I expect to have what God says I have. If we're having trouble sleeping, God said that he would give his beloved sleep. Can't remember the verse for that right now. But there's several scriptures that, you know, you go to sleep and your sleep will be peaceful. So we expect when we lay down that we're going to have good sleep. Because why? God said that he would give us sleep. I think that's all actually in maybe Psalm 127. Anyhow, I can't remember off the top of my head. But anyhow, whatever it is in the Word of God that we've seen, we choose to walk by that, not by what our senses tell us. And our senses can be screaming something opposite, but we don't walk by it. Let's turn over to Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17. So we can back up to 16. He's in the middle of a sentence. But let's talk about Abraham. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. This is a picture of faith in action. That Abraham was promised that he would be the father of many nations when he was very up in years. His wife had been barren. Sarah's up in years. And he has been promised by God that he's going to be the father of many nations and that she is going to have a child. So it describes how Abraham walked in faith. It says in verse 19, or actually back in 17, look at the statement about God in the middle there. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's a description of what God does. He calls those things that don't exist as though they did. And if he does that, that's what we can do. We can believe him even if it doesn't look like it. If we have his word on something, we act as if they're true. Verse 19, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. So Abraham is not weak in faith, and so he's not considering his own body, even though his body is old. He's looking. I mean, this isn't a made-up story. This man, you know, is way up in years. He's never had a child. And he's looking every day. He gets out of bed. He knows he's old. His wife, I mean, he looks with his eyes and sees his wife, who's never had a child, has been barren. His sensory information is telling him there is no way you can have a child. No way. How could she's never had a child in her prime, let alone when she's this old. And her, that's the information that's going into his eyes. He's not stupid. He was a real person, just like you and me. Well, he wakes up in the morning, you know, his breath smells bad, his hair is all messed up, and he gets up and looks over at his wife. And she's no spring chick anymore, and you know, the thoughts coming into his head are, I'm going to have a what? I mean, you think he would be just like you and me in that situation. He is not, you know, Mr. Walking on Water. He did several real dumb things. He lied about his wife. So he's got flesh. Those things are coming into his head, and he's thinking, the thoughts have to come that there is no way I'm ever going to have a kid. No way. How is this going to happen? That's the information that's coming in through his eyes. Then he hears his wife talk and, you know, all this information. He gets up and his back's hurting or whatever. You know, he's thinking, how in the world is this going to happen? But it says he, not in verse 19, not being weak in faith, not being weak in persuasion or confidence or alliance in God, he did not consider his own body. See, he didn't deny his body. He just said, you know, yeah, I'm old. Yeah, my wife's old, but I'm not going to consider that because God's told me something else. And since what he's told me is contradicting what I'm seeing and hearing, I am going to not consider it. See, there's a big difference than saying, oh, she's not old. Oh, I'm not old. No big deal. That's wishful thinking and that's not faith. That's not the same thing. No, it says he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he didn't consider those things. He didn't deny them. See, faith does not deny the existence of circumstances. If you're sick in your body, you don't say, oh, I'm not sick. No, you're sick. But God's word says we're healed, just like he was old. His wife was barren. It's true. It's an absolute fact. But God said, you're going to have a child. So he chose to be fully persuaded in God and not consider this. And he was fully reliant on him and persuaded that what God said was true in spite of what his senses were telling him. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, think about that. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. To be steady in the midst of having all this bombardment coming through your senses, he said, no, I'm not going to consider that. I'm not going to waver. I'm just going to believe God because God is true. I have judged him fully trustworthy. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced. That's faith. He was fully convinced. He was persuaded. He was reliant. He was assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. See, that's faith. He didn't deny the facts, but he was convinced that what God had said, he was able to do. And see, then it doesn't matter what his body is saying. It doesn't matter what his wife's body is saying, because when you put your faith in the Almighty Creator who spoke forth all the worlds into existence, created the very first man, then when he says you're going to have a child, you're going to have a child if you believe him, because he's not limited. And so he said he judged him faithful and judged him able to do what he had promised. That if God said it, he's not a liar, he's able to do it. So I and putting my faith over here, regardless of the fact that my body's screaming, there is no way. It's like, you know, you're weighing the two. What's going to win? For some people, you look at the body and it just says, oh, that game over. It's done. That's way too big. There's no way. Because their faith in God's, you know, they're not assured. They haven't looked at God. So some people, something attacks their body, they say, there's no way. Done. I'm dead. No way I can do anything. But if our faith, if we look at what God has said, if he's promised us healing and life, then we say, yeah, this looks like this could kill me. On the other hand, God said I'm healed. That wins. I don't care what it said, what my body says. God is more powerful than anything that could ever attack my body. That's when we're walking in faith. It's not denial. It's not wishful thinking. It is based on absolute fact in that God is faithful and he will do what he said. Otherwise, our whole world, you know, the whole universe is in trouble because he's the one that spoke the world into existence. Everything, you know, everything's upheld by his power. And if he's going to lie, we're all in trouble. He's not going to break his word for me or you. You know, that he's been faithful in every other instance, all through the ages, all throughout this word, he's been faithful. But then in my circumstance, oh, I guess he just can't do it. See, that's when our senses and what is going on in our this world outweighs what our belief in him is. And when our faith is strong, when we've heard the word of God and we choose to act on it, there is nothing that can keep us down, nothing that can overcome us. Thank God. So faith, it's not a complicated thing. It is simply reliance and trust in him. And it's what one person said it like this. It's a positive reaction to what God has already done. God has promised. See, people, they choose not to act in faith all the time, even though faith's there. God's told us that Jesus died for us, that he shed his blood for us, that if we'll put our faith in him and believe on him, that we will be renewed, made a new person, and spend eternity with him. He said that. But people choose not to react positively to that, even though that exists and it's ours. They choose not to take it and say, yeah, I believe that and I'm going to act on it. They choose not to do that. They choose to have a negative reaction and say, well, I don't know about that, and they go over here. Same thing with healing or protection or provision or anything. God's word says something, we read it, and a positive reaction says, yeah, that's true. I judge him faithful. I judge him faithful that he can do what he promised. If it says it, God's word's good, I can take it to the bank, I believe it. See, that's faith. It's a positive reaction to what he has already provided. It's not that we're making something up. It's not that we're just pulling something out of the air and say, I believe this. No, we see it in the word. We see that he's promised it. We say, you're faithful, God. I'm taking that. I don't care what it looks like. Negative reaction would say, well, I don't know. I see that, but I see all this too, and I just don't know. There's no way. I don't care how big God is. See the difference? It's a positive reaction. Let's go to Luke 5:15, and we'll close with this. So let's go back to verse 12. Luke 5, verse 12. It says, and it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So verse 15, it says, however, the report went around concerning him all the more. The great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed. To hear and to be healed. We talked about how faith comes. It comes by hearing. See, people heard about what Jesus could do. They heard that he could heal. It just didn't happen that Jesus went around healing. There's another place. He could not do any work because people wouldn't believe him. Even though he preached the same message, even though he said the same things, he couldn't do anything because they didn't believe. But here, he went about and people heard about him, so they came to hear him. And when they heard them, faith would come and they had an opportunity to act on that faith and to be healed. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. People came to hear Jesus. That's how they were healed, when they put faith in him. When they heard the word, and faith would come, and they were persuaded that what this man's saying is true, that he is who he says he is, he has the power that he has, and I am going to believe that. That's how the woman with the issue of blood was healed that we read a couple weeks ago. Over and over, these people believed on him and were fully persuaded in spite of what they saw, and they were healed. And it's the same thing with us today. It's when we're fully persuaded by what we see, by our faith in Him, regardless of what we see, that the results come. Let's turn over to one more thing before we close. Back in Daniel. This is a familiar story, but this illustrates perfectly what we're talking about. So you may know the story. This is, you hear this in Bible school, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are serving in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And so we're not going to go through the whole thing. But basically, Nebuchadnezzar sets up this big statue of gold and says, anybody that doesn't worship this thing is going to be thrown into this fiery furnace. You're going to be killed. And so these three men, they serve God. They don't serve. They're not going to worship any other god but their God. And they're not going to fall down and worship Nebuchadnezzar. So they don't worship, and these people, you know, tell on them and say, hey, these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not serving you. They're not worshiping when the music is played. They're not falling down. So Nebuchadnezzar gets mad. And he sends for these people, and they come in, and he is mad, saying, you know, why are you not serving me? So let's pick it up in chapter 3 of Daniel. Chapter 3, verse 13. So then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If that is the case, our God, if that's the case, if you're going to throw us in there, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, he's not going to throw him, or he's not going to deliver him. They're not saying, but if not, if God won't deliver him, they're saying, look, if you're going to throw us in, God's going to deliver us. Verse 17. If that's the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from the, O king, or your hand, O king. But if you choose not to, just know. This is what they're saying there. Verse 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, if you're not going to throw us in, that we don't serve your gods, nor we worship the gold image which you have set up. See, they have faith. In their sight, this guy just told them, you're going in this fiery furnace, you're going to die. But see, they have the command of God that says, you will serve no other gods before me. They're not going to worship. They have God's word on it, and they have trust. They are fully persuaded, convinced that God is going to take care of them. I mean, they have death right in front of them. They can see this fiery furnace. They see where they're going if they don't fall down. All they have to do is fall down. All they have to do is just bow down and worship this image. But they have it in their sight that they're going to die if they do that. But their confidence in God, regardless of what they say, says, look, you throw us in, he's able to save us, period. They're bold. They're fully persuaded. They're convinced. They don't care what it looks like because they know their God. And so they tell him that. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar, he got mad, was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these people are taking them to throw them in, and they're dying. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. See, that's impossible. And people would say, this didn't really happen. This is impossible. No, it happened. By the power of the living, almighty God, that fire, which is impossible, you ask any person, you throw me into the fiery furnace, I'm going to die. There's no way I can be stopped. It's going to consume me. No, the power of the living God, these men trusted in their God. And it says, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. They didn't say the fire wasn't real. The fire, because it killed the people that got thrown in. No, the fire was very real. But on their bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. That's absolutely, all of that's impossible in the natural realm. But the living God had given his word that he would protect them, and they took him at his word and believed the living God and said, "I believe you in spite of the fact that this fire would kill me in the natural." But they got thrown into that furnace. They did not even smell like smoke. Which, you know, you go into a restaurant in the smoking area, you come out smelling like smoke, let alone be put into a fire that kills the people that threw you in. It's impossible in the natural, but faith, they were fully persuaded. They believed God, and they saw the results. And it's the same thing in our lives. When we have faith, when we're fully persuaded, when we're assured that God will do what he said he will do, even when it looks impossible, we'll have the results.